stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome into episode 56 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at KoopaTroopa8. If you did not know, we have an awesome partnership here at South Harmon. If you're going to go on Fanatics and order literally anything, NFL, MLB, NHL, go ahead and use our referral code. It is certified shit, certified SH.IT. And while right now it won't get you anything, we're hoping this turns into something for us in the future. So if you could do us an awesome favor, and if you're going to buy anything Fanatics, go to certifiedsh.it and use our referral link. I hope your rookie drafts have been going as well as mine have. And with this rookie season, I've been paying a little bit more attention to those players that I'm picking up post-draft. You know those guys that are your fantasy UDFAs? The guys that nobody drafted through your 4 or 5 rounds of your rookie startup? And you're like, do I really want to go pick up Jaquindon Jackson off of waivers? Do I want to go get Raheem Sanders? Well, I decided that I wanted to answer that question here with this episode. And so I'm going to go and look back over previous years and see how effective UDFAs were just in terms of appearing into our fantasy lineups. I'm not talking about being projected to be in our fantasy lineups because, frankly, I play a lot of best ball leagues. And so what I'm more concerned with is how many of these times does a quarterback finish in the top 24, a running back finish in the top 36, a wide receiver in the top 40, and the tight ends in the top 12. I chose those numbers to be pretty representative of a best ball start 9 or 10, and just to give some good baselines where if we saw those, we'd be like, okay, that was a decent performance, that was worthy of appearing in my lineup. For this data, I'm going to go back to 2016, so that way we get a good set of data, and also because it tells a little bit of a story. Back in 2016, there was 280 total performances by undrafted players that hit our fantasy lineups. Now, that sounds like a lot, but when you extrapolate that over the course of a season, it means that any UDFA from any season, there's only about 16 or 17 of them a week. That's not a whole lot, especially when you start accounting for the variety of players that you're going to get who encompass those UDFAs. Guys that you will recognize now, like Adam Thielen, Antonio Gates, Brian Hoyer, Cameron Brate, Case Keenum, Cole Beasley. All those guys count. And most of them count for multiple weeks in that data set. So we aren't getting a lot of your random one-off kinds of UDFAs. You're getting guys who end up appearing for multiple weeks a lot of this time. However, when we're looking at it back in 2016, the reason I chose 2016 is because as we move on through time, that number just consistently decreases. So we had 280 weeks in 2016 from UDFAs. In 2017, it goes down to 268. In 2018, it does go back up to 277. But in 2019, we go down to 253. 2020, 243. 2021, also 243. In 2022, 194, a significant drop-off. 2023 sees 195, and then in 2024, we see another significant drop-off down to 152. So, in terms of the total number of weeks produced by UDFAs, from 2016 down to 2024, we see an almost 50% reduction. That is a ton of drop-off when you're looking at any one statistic, and to see it go steadily down over the course of all those years is kind of surprising. Now, I have a little bit of theory as to why this is, and it kind of gets uncovered with the what I'll call the first year UDFA statistic. So, the first year of UDFA, you would expect that out of that giant 152 weeks from UDFAs, that you might get quite a few of them being from players who signed that offseason. Because UDFAs would be guys that they might stick around for a year, get a couple of fluke performances, but then kind of just drop off the radar. Well, in 2024, of those 152 total weeks that were produced by UDFAs, only four of them came from players who their rookie year was in 2024. Every other performance came from someone who did not come out that year. Those four performances were done by Carson Steele, Jalen Coker, and Mason Tipton. Those were the only three. And Carson Steele and Mason Tipton barely made the thresholds in order for their weeks to even count. If we go back to 2023, we see a total of 26 performances. Most of them coming off of the combination of Tommy DeVito, Keaton Mitchell, Jaleel McLaughlin, and Amari DiMercato. If we go to 2022, that number reduces a little bit. We go down to 21 total weeks. But remember that in 2022 and in 2023, we had 194 and 195 total weeks respectively. So we're seeing that, okay, you have maybe 1/10 of all the weeks are coming from players in that draft class. Whereas all the other performances are coming from players in previous draft classes. In 2021, we see the flukiness of this one-year UDFA statistic that I thought was going to be a major driver. And you see a grand total of 4 weeks once again. Literally two of them from Jarrett Patterson, one from Deion Jackson, and one from Brock Wright. Everyone else that produced as a UDFA was not a UDFA from the 2021 class in 2021. In 2020, we're back up to 26 total weeks from UDFAs in that class. 2019, back down to 19 total. And then in 2018, we have 39 total weeks, and 2017, 26, and 2016, we go back up to 32 total weeks. So what do I see from this? I see that more recently, UDFAs have not done as much in their first year, and UDFAs especially have not done as much in total. Now, why might that be the case? I personally think the reason is to do with NIL. If we look at 2021, that is the first time that we have a significantly fewer number of total UDFAs that are able to go out onto the field and produce any kind of relevant fantasy performance for us. And that also coincides with the first year of NIL in college. That's the first year where a player could decide, hey, I'm just going to stay in college for an extra year, and I can hopefully get some money for playing in college and not risk going to the NFL. Keep in mind that these players that are going to be UDFAs are players who, if you have some guaranteed money on the college side, you might want to go ahead and do that rather than going through the NFL process and finding out that your football playing career is over. So, 2021, that draft class is the first one where these UDFA numbers will be affected. And then, yeah, 2022 and 2023, there were more players than in 21 and 24, but there weren't as many of a variety. I didn't cover the variety that was there in the 2016 through 2020 classes, but there was quite a few more players than there were in 2023 and 2022. 2022 and 2023 were both carried by performances from a smaller number of total players. In addition, when you look at the total number of performances from these UDFAs, you're seeing that they're just not refilling at the same rate. In 2016, if we go even all the way back to 2010, there's at least 25 weeks put up by UDFAs coming out of every single draft class. That's going on 6 years that point, that player being in the NFL. If we go to 2024, you do not see those numbers, especially going back to the various draft classes before then. 2024, looking at the number coming from the draft class of 2021, they literally only get one single performance from any UDFA from 2021 had a performance in 2024 that was worth being in your lineup. It was the 1 week DJ Turner churned out 11 points for you in week 8. Even if you're looking at the best case scenario for 2024, which was the 2022 UDFA class, the entire performance set for the 2024 season comes out of 6 players. Jaylen Warren, Jordan Mason, Kevontae Turpin, Rashid Shaheed, Sincere McCormick, and Tyler Goodson. If you compare this to 2016, looking at the 2013 draft class, which is on the lower end for that year, where there's only 30 total performances compared to the 29 performances in 2024, those come out of a variety of 10 different players. So those players, there's more of them that are sticking around and providing performances for you. Whereas in 2024, those players that are sticking around for us, 2 of them are running backs, where combined between those 2 running backs, we are covering more than half of the total performances from that draft class. So what we're seeing is that getting UDFAs into your lineups and having them be useful is becoming even harder. It's something that is not happening at the rate that it used to. And I think that is in a big part due to the new collegiate landscape. The fact that NIL is causing these players to stay in college longer, it is giving NFL teams an opportunity to really get to know who the best players are. You get an extra year of game tape. These players are a year older and they show, hey, is there something projectable worth here? Or is it something that you don't really need to worry about with this player? Is it something where we actually want to take a risk on a draft pick, or do we want to sign somebody else as a draft pick and then get this guy as a UDFA? In the past, it leaned heavier towards the UDFAs actually still having some talent available. If they played fewer years in college because maybe they had a family situation where, you know what, they aren't going to stay in school as long, they want to get that NFL money, they want to take that chance now. Well, it was worth it to do that pre-2021, pre-NIL era. But now that we have the NIL deals, we're seeing that shift. We're seeing the players that are going into the NFL, declaring themselves eligible for the draft, be oftentimes players where towards the back end, the reason they're entering the NFL draft is because they've maxed out their years in college. The NCAA will not let them play anymore. And that's going to mean that, A, the NFL teams know everything about these players, and B, that the quality is going to be lower for those players at the very end. The NFL teams are going to know how to rank them correctly. They don't need to take as many chances on UDFAs. Sure, they'll fill them out on their roster, but they have a pretty good idea of how they're going to fit in. So somebody who's drafted is already more likely to be what an NFL team is just expecting because they have those extra years of data on those players. So now that we understand that UDFAs are becoming even harder to identify, I still want to look a little bit at what positions turn into UDFAs who might be useful for a week. So starting with quarterbacks, realistically, we all know that UDFA quarterbacks are few and far between. And all the names of guys that I can look at for any year, 2016 through 2024, they are all guys that you kind of knew, hey, the team likes this guy because he's their backup. And then the backup ended up starting. So what you need to do is pay attention to those depth charts. Pay attention to when teams make those roster cutdowns, who makes the team and who doesn't. Your situations of having Case Keenum, Taylor Heinicke, having Cooper Rush, like, those are your UDFAs who are going to give you quite a few performances. Even Tyler Huntley appears in quite a few different years. But we knew at a certain point that those guys were the backup quarterbacks. We see them on the team-published depth charts. And so playing any QB on a two deep, it's not just what you think. Pay attention to what the teams think. Pay attention to how they grade themselves, how they grade their own players. Because that's how you're going to be able to tell who's actually going onto the field when they are calling on that backup quarterback. With running back, it's a similar story. We all know Jaylen Warren. We all know Jaleel McLaughlin. We all know Jordan Mason and Rico Dowdle. Those are guys that have all appeared in the 2024 data set. In previous years, you have your Austin Ecklers. You have your Darrell Williams. You have your J.D. McKissick and your James Robinson. We all saw those guys pretty quickly once they started getting a bunch of work. For years and years, all we did was kind of tune them out. They're UDFAs. They aren't going to do much. But the teams show us what they're going to do. The teams say, hey, this is the guy who's on our depth chart in this spot. And so those are the things that we need to pay attention to and listen to. Now, there are some random performances here at running back as well. And this is where you can start to get a little bit creative if you're trying to find some of these performances in the rough. When you're trying to search for them, you can still end up with your random Craig Reynolds performances. You can still get your Deion Jackson and your Elijah Penny and your Jamichael Hasty. Like, those guys all put up performances that ended up being in the top 36 for running backs on their respective weeks. And it's just a matter of identifying who is going to be there when. And so any running back on a 53, that strategy applies in terms of you need to have a running back who is on that team. But also, go ahead and pay attention to what is that archetype of that UDFA that you're looking at. All those names that I read out, one thing that is in common with them and with almost every other running back who appears in a random basis in the UDFA list is that they're pass catchers. They're the guys that can come out of a backfield, they can catch a couple passes, and just through the virtue of PPR and probably breaking a pass off of big, they're able to get those points for your team. So if you're in a best ball league and you're trying to get some sneaky extra points there into your flex or maybe even into your RB2, the guys that you want are going to be those pass-catching running backs who are going to potentially break that big one. They're going to be in there on that random third down, be that check down option, make two guys miss, and next thing you know, they're in the end zone for a 45-yard touchdown. Those are the guys that you want if you're going to try and get those random performances out of UDFAs. The thing kind of goes for any of your RB2s or RB3s. You want those pass catchers. They are going to get you those opportunities that you don't expect, especially if you're looking at it from a best ball lens. Best ball, you get a ton of really high floor off of those guys that just go off of volume and they're able to just churn out like 4.5 yard per carry games over and over and over again. But if you're trying to go for true peak performances versus having very little investment into the position, those pass catchers are the way you want to go. At tight end, it's basically the usual crapshoot. Looking at all these guys, you end up with that some of them, they just appear because like, oh look, they caught a touchdown. And that's the thing we've always known about the tight end position. When you're trying to fill a tight end, especially when you don't have a tight end premium, you just want the guys that are on the field enough that they might get a touchdown. So your really big guys, you might want to get a couple shares of those guys just to have on your team if you've got the extra roster spots. Obviously, they still need to hit the field, so you probably don't want the tight end threes or tight end fours, but those tight end twos that are just the big guys, they might be able to fall into the end zone here and there for you. Lastly, it's the wide receivers. Now, looking through the wide receiver list, I'm no wide receiver savant. I don't know these players quite as well as somebody who's well-versed in the NFL, how formations work and things like that, would know them. But the thing I can recognize, at least from these lists, is that they end up being a lot of the slot guys. A lot of those guys who just end up, they're going to be in the middle of the field, and they might just be able to pick on somebody who's not as good on the defense, or just have a weird matchup that's wrong. Your Trent Sherfields, your Olamide Zaccheaus, your Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, your Byron Pringle, your Cole Beasley, your Danny Amendola, and Keelan Cole. Like, a lot of these guys play inside rather than playing on the outside. And they're just able to take advantage of a defense that wasn't able to do to them what they can do to those receivers on the edge. And so that's something that we see a lot of times with wide receivers. And so it's paying attention to what those receivers are going to look like on a week-to-week basis. The thing that I found when I was doing my backup receiver strategy was that I wanted those receivers who were listed as wide receiver ones on their team. And that meant they were top three on the depth chart. Well, those top three receivers, they can get hurt. Those backups can come in. And that's oftentimes where these UDFAs would come from. Like, Tim Patrick didn't appear because he beat out everybody in training camp. He appeared because he started playing well when he got the opportunity as a result of injuries ahead of him on Denver. Same thing goes with Zach Pascal. Zach Pascal was not the Indianapolis wide receiver because, oh, he's out there just like bossing everyone around from day one. He got his opportunity and he took it and he did well with it. And so those are the kinds of things that we want to be paying attention to is, okay, who's hurt in front of these receivers? Who's that next man up? Whoever that receiver that's filling that top three spot is, that's who we want to be taking that chance on, especially in our best ball leagues. So that's the overall takeaway from this whole episode. That you want to get those pass-catching running backs, those slot-type wide receivers, if you're going to be focusing in on UDFAs. And if you're thinking about getting UDFAs, how hard do you want to try getting them off of waivers? I would try less hard than you've done in the past. It's not as important to get those guys post your NFL draft, or your rookie draft in fantasy, who did not get drafted in the NFL draft. The NFL teams are doing a better job at identifying them and at getting them onto their rosters if they are any good. Those UDFAs, sure, they're being signed, but they're probably a lot more of them are just training camp fodder, rookie camp fodder, OTA fodder, to get a little bit of a chance, but also to allow them to help train the rest of their roster as well. That's everything that I have for this week. I am still out there on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. Please do reach out to me if you have any questions with anything that I've talked about in any of my episodes, or even if you're just wanting a different perspective on some trades, warp charts, things like that. I'm always happy to answer. As always, make sure you go out there, you stay sharp, and keep grinding that edge. And enjoy any rookie drafts that you have remaining. I'll see you next week.